Welcome to the program, God and Country, a program that looks at current events in the light of biblical exposition. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Today's program is a brief exposition on the book of Judges. My last exposition was on the book of Nehemiah, and I would like to do the same with this Old Testament historical book. As in the case of the book of Nehemiah, many people misinterpret and misapply the book of Judges. Remember the overall purpose for the Old Covenant. Romans 3:19, the law was given that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. The law, the whole Mosaic covenant, under which Israel operated for 1,500 years, was never meant to make the nation holy or to save anyone. It was only given to show natural man's inability to live by God's righteous standards. As it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 7, the mind set on the flesh, that's the natural man, is hostile toward God, for it doesn't subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. For those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, is simply one long historical record of man's failure to live wholly individually and nationally. So that in the end, people would understand that the only way to salvation is through the work of the Messiah and the converting power of the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. Now remember, right from the beginning, Moses told the people that they would fail. Now we would think that that's not exactly the best way to motivate people by telling them that they're going to fail even before they begin. But Moses had to tell them the truth about themselves. Deuteronomy 29:4, yet to this day the Lord has not given you a heart to know, nor eyes to see, nor ears to hear. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 31, Moses gives the prophecy of their future. Verse 16, the Lord said to Moses, behold, you're about to lie down with your fathers, and this people will arise and play the harlot with the strange gods of the land into the midst of which they're going, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. Verse 29, Moses tells the people, for I know that after my death, you will act corruptly and turn from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, for you will do what is evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger with the works of your hands. And some people might read this thinking, well, that's what happened to Israel. But another people, another nation, another time might do better. No, this is the end of every man and every nation, because man is naturally an enemy of God. But even with this dire prophecy, Moses left the people with a prophetic promise. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. Moreover, the Lord your God will someday circumcise your heart and the hearts of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul so that you may live. They would not be saved by the law, but by a miraculous transformation by the Spirit of God. When will that day come? When the law of God would be written on their hearts and not simply on tablets of stone. When the new covenant would come. For that was the promise of the new covenant, Jeremiah 31. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You can post a sign in every public school in America that says, just say no to drugs. And this nation will still have a persistent drug problem. You can even post the Ten Commandments in every school in America, and the young people will still break the law of God. Because the law makes nothing perfect. Hebrews 7:19. So should we not post the law of God? No, we should post it because even though the law does not deliver, it still gives people a knowledge of sin, which is a necessary part of leading men to see Christ for that new heart. And this is the meaning of John chapter 3 when Jesus says to Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus, you're a teacher of Israel and you do not understand these things? This was the promise of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. And that was the same promise reiterated by Ezekiel in Ezekiel 36, 26. "Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes." So, knowing all this, we can now examine the place the book of Judges has in the story of the Old Covenant. The year was about 1350 BC. The Jews had conquered much of the land of Canaan under Joshua, but there were many portions that were unconquered and occupied by Canaanite tribes. Remember, God's plan was to use the Jews to build a theocracy in order to communicate to the world the Word of God and to bring in the Messiah. The beginning of the book of Judges starts in the last chapter of the book of Joshua. Joshua is ready to die. He calls all the leaders of Israel together for a holy convocation. And there Joshua repeats to the people the same prophecy of Moses. Joshua 24, 9, "You will not be able to serve the Lord." This is the famous text where Joshua challenges the people, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." There are many evangelical sermons from this text about how people need to choose the Lord. But in these sermons, there's often a failure to read and understand the whole text. The overlooked message is Joshua's conclusion. "You will not be able to serve the Lord." That text is often read as if Joshua is simply using a form of exaggeration or simply using reverse psychology on the people. But Joshua is telling the truth. The people didn't believe him. They said, "No, we will serve the Lord." And even people today read the text and don't believe Joshua's conclusion. They take away from Joshua 24 that if we make up our minds to serve the Lord, we can serve the Lord. But we can't because natural men are dead in their trespasses and sins. Ephesians chapter 2. The people couldn't serve the Lord, and even their professing desire to serve the Lord was a sham. What you have in Joshua 24 is a repeating of the events at Sinai. At Sinai, all the people agreed to keep the law. Exodus 24:7. Moses goes up on the mountain for 40 days and he returns and they're all breaking the law again. Now under Joshua, the same thing happens at Shechem. The people again agree to follow the law of God, and the book of Judges recounts how they failed at it again. So as we start the book of Judges, the Israelites are motivated by Joshua's speech. The tribe of Judah and Simeon begin to obey God by attempting to conquer the rest of the land. But very soon, the enthusiasm dies out, and everyone returns to business as usual. So the angel of the Lord rebukes the nation at Bochim. "As for you, you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of the land. You shall tear down their altars, but you have not obeyed me. What is this that you have done? Therefore, I also said, I will not drive out the Canaanites before you. They will become as thorns in your side, and their gods will be a snare to you." Judges chapter 2, verse 10. "All that generation also were gathered to their fathers. And there rose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the works he had done for Israel." Then in verse 15, "Wherever they went, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil. As the Lord had spoken, And as the Lord had sworn to them, so they were severely distressed. Then the Lord raised up judges who delivered them from the hands of those who plundered them. Yet they did not listen to the judges, for they played the harlot after other gods and bowed themselves down to them. They turned aside quickly from the way which their fathers had walked in obeying the commandments of the Lord. And so the rest of the book of Judges recounts 300 years under 12 judges. Now, the title Judges is not referring to legal judges who adjudicate from the bench, but the Hebrew word means leaders who deliver the nation from enemies and who judge the sin of the nation. And what we see is a repeating cycle. The people would be blessed of the Lord for their obedience. In their blessing, they would grow spiritually apathetic and morally corrupt. Therefore, a national calamity would take place. An invading nation would put the Jews back into poverty and bondage. The people would then remember the Lord. They'd mend their ways. God would deliver them. They would be blessed and free. And then they would forsake the Lord, and the cycle would start all over again. Such as Judges 3:9, when Israel cried to the Lord raised up Othniel to deliver Israel from the king of the Mesopotamians. But once delivered, Judges 3:12, the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Then the Moabites invaded the land, Judges 3:15. The Israelites cried out to the Lord, and the Lord raised up Ehud to deliver them from the Moabites. But after deliverance, chapter 4, verse 1, the sons of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And this cycle would repeat itself 12 times over 300 years. And if you're living in that day, you probably would have been unaware of the cycle because it took place so gradually over decades. But the book of Judges is not simply about the story of ancient Israel. This is the story of America, of England, of Russia. This is every nation, every man. Countries have conservative and liberal swings. When a country is prosperous, people forget God and moral discipline. Then the nation begins to reap the consequences of moral liberalism. And then out of desperation, they return to moral law. America's 400 years has been a time of moral decline with an occasional conservative uptick. Just like the nation of Israel had an occasional uptick, but the overall trend was downward. But the mistake is to think that these conservative swings in the book of Judges were genuine revivals. They were not. They were natural, unregenerate, unsaved men returning to religion to get something from God. Now, granted, there were some genuine conversions along the way, because God is always saving a small remnant in every generation. But the scriptural record is meant to teach the reader that these revivals were fake. Now, notice in Joshua's day that the people were very eager to tell Joshua that they wanted Jehovah to be their God. Joshua 24:21. Why were they so eager, but the next generation went after the Baals? Judges 2:10. Because Joshua's generation was carried along by the moral capital of Joshua and the miracles of God. They saw how Jehovah God helped them win all their battles. And so they wanted Jehovah God to be their national God. In the ancient world, the God who helps you win the battle is the God you choose as your national mascot. Baal was the god of fertility. He promised to give people rain and a good harvest. He promised to give families many children. The religion of Baal was the ultimate health, wealth, and happiness gospel. And so when the Israelites didn't see Jehovah God doing something for them, they naturally went after the Baals. Besides, the immorality of Baal was more in tune with the condition of their natural soul. But the truth you need to discern here is that the Israelites' original motives for serving God in the first place were ungodly, insufficient, and an offense to a holy God. Natural man is the enemy of God. He will only give God superficial worship if he can get something from God. Psalm 66:3. Because of the greatness of your power, your enemies will fake obedience to you. And the sad thing is that many naive Christians think that the way to build the true church is by showing the unsaved all of the earthly blessings and miracles that God can bring their way. That's not the gospel message, and that does not lead people to faith and repentance in Jesus Christ. That's the false gospel that leads to building religion, that leads to building the church of the tares, to building denominations that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Remember Satan's accusation against Job? Satan said to God, "Does Job fear God for nothing? He only serves you because you've put a hedge about him and have blessed him. Take away his blessing and he will curse you to your face." Satan was right. That is, for most people. People practice religion and morality for self-serving motives because they're not born again, they don't have the Spirit of God, and the love of God has not been poured out within their hearts. Romans 5:5. But Job was an Old Testament example of a true child of God, one who had the Spirit of God during the days of the Old Covenant. And Job showed it by having a supernatural loyalty and love for God, regardless of what earthly blessings he received from the Lord. So this is the major theme of the book of Judges. Man's failure to be changed by the law. But often evangelicals fail to teach the Old Testament in the light of the New Testament. And they explain the book of Judges, or any historical book in the Old Testament, as teaching the lesson that if a generation will simply try harder than the previous generation, it can do what's right. Or that the book of Judges simply teaches that if you do what's right, you're blessed, and if you do what's wrong, you're cursed by enemies. Well, if that's the main theme of Judges, then the book can be used by any religion, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, to promote the blessing of religion and morality. But that's not the true message of the book of Judges. The true message is that there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who seek for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. Romans 3. While back, I asked my Sunday school class to make a list of erroneous themes people may apply to the book of Judges. One error might be to take Judges 21:25, which says, "In those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes," and with that verse conclude that the way a nation can be righteous is to have a centralized government or a monarchy. The problem is bad leadership, then the solution must be good leadership. Or one might focus on Judges chapter 2, verse 28, where it says the Israelites did not drive out the Canaanites, and so that the reason for national decline was the influence of non-Jewish cultures. Bad influences in the neighborhood. So if the problem is bad influences, the solution is to preserve the indigenous culture through a federal department of culture, kind of like the French have. Or one might go to Judges chapter 2, verse 10, where it says, "There arose another generation that did not know the Lord or the works he had done for Israel, and thereby conclude that the solution would be to form a national organization to help children learn the Torah and national history." So you see how people can misread the book of Judges and miss the whole gospel message. I can't tell you how many times I've heard messages from the book of Judges that teach America just needs to return to the Lord, as in one of the cycles in the book of Judges. But that's not the answer. The answer is individuals being transformed by the saving power of Jesus Christ. The new birth. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Nicodemus, you are a teacher of Israel and you do not understand these things. Then unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now, by way of conclusion, imagine if we could have a country where all the people would love God and do what's right. A place where another generation would not rise up and go after the Baals. A place where the government is established and upheld with justice and righteousness forevermore. A place where the unrighteous could not enter, where nothing unclean and no one who practices abominations and lying shall ever enter. Have we forgotten that we actually have that country? It's a kingdom of Christ. The country that Abraham was looking for. The city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Where is it? It is both in our midst right now, Luke 17:21, and it's coming, Matthew 25. And our current job in evangelism is, in a sense, to recruit people for this kingdom. And the people in this new country will not come from any one ethnic group, but they are purchased from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Revelation 5. And this is the kingdom that national Israel superficially strived to be, but wasn't able. But Christ's kingdom will succeed because the citizens have the nature of Christ and will be ruled by Christ. And in Christ's kingdom today, there's no homosexual marriage. There's no abortion. There's no adultery. There's no pornography. There's no corrupt, overpaid bureaucrats. Our kingdom is not a depraved cesspool like America. We are truly citizens of Christ's kingdom, and we have been sent temporarily to America to gather together those who are going to be in Christ's kingdom. We are currently aliens in a strange land. Christians constantly need to be reminded that we're members of God's new country. This is a predominant theme throughout the New Testament. Acts 26:18, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the kingdom of Satan to God. That is political language. Now, this does not mean that we ought not to work to help the kingdoms of man obey God's law. After all, we're to pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But in our Christian political activism, let's remember to put first our duty to preach and teach the kingdom of Christ, the true country which is the only hope for mankind. America is not the last best hope for mankind, as Ronald Reagan said. The kingdom of Christ is the last, the final, and the only hope for man. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. Our radio website is godandcountryradio.org. There you can listen to this program again or other past programs. That's godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for being part of this radio family, and may God richly bless you as you grow in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we've been presented with two kingdoms, the unrighteous failed kingdom of Israel and the coming victorious kingdom of Christ that you have established for those who are saved by the power of Christ. Help us to keep these basic truths before us as we work for and look forward to your appearing and your kingdom. In Christ's name we ask. Amen.